This week on What's Going On with Earl Ingram, we feature a good friend of mine, an educator in the health world, a pharmacist at Welltopia in the Mequon-Thiensville area. Dr. Omar the Pharmacist, he speaks on health supplements, good vitamins, and daily routines to follow to ensure good health practices. He gives tips on improving gut health, tips on improving a healthy diet, and tips on how to improve your immune system. He also gives information to speak with Dr. Omar directly about any of your concerns. You won't find that information listening to me on this short introduction. So let's get into it. Don't miss it, airing this week on all streaming platforms. Follow us on civicmedia.us or wherever you follow your podcast. Please like and subscribe as well.
Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Bringing you a passion for health and wellness, Dr. Omar Uliwa is here to answer your pharmaceutical questions. Now, let's go in the pharmacy with Earl Ingram and Dr. Omar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done
all right. Welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. I have to say that what we're about to present now is a segment of the radio show that I did in prior times. And this gentleman was a guest with me every Thursday, and we did a powerful message that we delivered on the Earl Ingram, what was then the Earl Ingram show. And I, you know, in all the times that I've done radio, I'm not so sure that I ever had a more powerful segment than the one that you are about to hear now, and you'll hear continuously, and that's with Dr. Omar the Pharmacist, the proprietor and founder of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mequon-Thiensville. Dr. Omar, it is good to have you back in the saddle again.
Thank you, Earl. It's an honor for me to come back. I missed your shows. I missed talking to you and the audience, and it's really good to be back.
You know, Dr. Omar, for people who don't know, you are a pharmacist. You are a compounder. Let's talk a little bit about what a compounder is before we get into a topical subject that we're going to discuss today.
Sure. So I started my career as a pharmacist by just being a normal, regular pharmacist. And then I retired 15 years ago. I retired after I graduated from pharmacy school, and I went to movie business, screenwriting and filmmaking in the Middle East. And I was very successful, actually. For 5 years, I didn't do any pharmacy. And then after that, I came back from the point of view of patient care, because I helped some patients and I saw the light in their eyes as I helped them. And I found that pharmacy can have tools that change lives, and we just have to figure out the customizable tools for the practitioners so the pharmacists can do their job much better. So I tried to do the things in pharmacy that I like. So I got specialized into making medications from active ingredients for the patients who need special medications, like if a patient is having allergies or they need a special drug that the drug manufacturers are not making, So the creative portion of the business sucked me in and took me to kind of re-explore my passion for pharmacy and helping patients. And that also took me to what is called functional medicine, which is using the Western and Eastern medicine, using the Lipitor drug that's used for high cholesterol, and also using red yeast rice for some patients as herbal product, natural product that can help the patient. And having this kind of merge between any tool that can support the patient based on science. So I am board certified as a pharmacist. I am board certified as a functional medicine practitioner with A4M, which is a prestigious functional medicine institute. And I'm also a compounder, in which I know how to mix drugs from active ingredients to create the 1% of prescriptions in the market for those patients that need certain drugs and they have to be made in a certain way. So it's kind of having several tools to support our patients. And thank God, Earl, it's not just me. We have a team of pharmacists, interns, technicians. Over the years, I have trained, worked with, and they are now either working with me or working somewhere else. We still are communicating and we're still inspiring each other. And it's beautiful. I love what I do and I'm very passionate about it.
So it's safe to say you're creating an army of Dr. Omar's. And I have to say to people that I would not be here talking about Dr. Omar and Welltopia Pharmacy if I myself hadn't, you know, direct involvement with what you do. And since I've met you, and you are as important to me as any of my doctors, and sometimes I think even more so, because all the things that I was experiencing health-wise prior to meeting you didn't improve my physical being and my mental health as much as having had dialogue and conversation with you and the great supplements. I didn't know what the heck a supplement was. I thought that if I took, you know, one of the multivitamins that they show on television, that I was doing myself a great favor. Or if I thought I needed more vitamin D or vitamin C, I ran down to the local pharmacy at the corner store and plucked one off of the shelf where they had a million different options. And I really thought that I was doing myself a favor until I started having those dialogues and conversations with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, and the quality of the supplements that you offer. And let's talk a little bit about that before we get into what we're going to talk about today, and the difference in the quality of supplements that people purchase.
It's an excellent question, Earl. And the thing is, like, medications have started as herbal medicine in the past 60, 70 years ago, 100, 200, 1,000, 2,000 years ago. Medicine and pharmacy was based on natural medicine. So these herbal products were used for treatment, and then medications, many of the medications came out from using and tweaking those herbal products. So I look at them as pharmaceutical products as well. They differ in quality, in doses, and in what is called the standardized dosing to do an effect, in which, let's say, a clinical study that happened with a certain form of collagen. And then you would see collagen in 100 different products. But there is going to be just few products that have the exact concentration and the exact product as it proved to work in the study. So patients try certain supplements and they say, okay, they helped me with energy, they helped my cholesterol levels, they helped my heart get better. And other patients say, oh my God, I spent so much money and I didn't get the results that my friend got. And the reason is because the supplement industry is not as organized and standardized as drugs, and that's why you need guidance. And what I do is that I carefully look at what is the person, the patient is taking as medications. What do they need? What's the top priorities of what they need? And what can they afford mentally, physically, and also can pay money for those supplements? Because unfortunately, the insurance companies are not paying for those supplements. So there are several factors that get us to create a plan for what are the most needed supplements. We need the bare minimum that's going to help uplift my health, support my body, and get me to the next level, whether it is to manage a chronic condition or to support the immune system, to support the gut health. It has to be precision medicine. We have to consider this as a health product. And when you get the recommendation from a health professional who understands what they are doing, you get to reach places. So for instance, if you take a medication like a statin drug, the statin drug helps to decrease inflammation in your arteries, lower the LDL, improve your lipid profile, but at the same time, it deprives you from a very important coenzyme that helps to produce and pump energy into your cells and mitochondria, which is CoQ10. So supplementing with CoQ10 gets to be a must. But then you go to find the CoQ10 product and you find 100 different products ranging from $6 a bottle to $60 a bottle. What do I choose and why would I choose this or that? And if you're going to choose the expensive product, convince me that I need to pay this money. So it gets to be a simple and complex question. What can I take? How long to see a result? What is the result? And how many supplements I can afford to remember to take, or I can even afford to pay for it. Several questions have to be realistic, and we have to be working for the patient, not for the drug company, not for the supplement company, but for you, because you, Earl, are the king of healthcare. You're the patient, and you should have the absolute judgment on how to uplift your body. And to do this judgment, you have to have an informed decision and see the options that you have.
So if ever there was an entry into a subject that we were going to tackle today, you just you deserve a PhD in entry to a subject that we are going to talk about. And you talked about the patient and the importance of the patients. America has the best healthcare system in the world, I am told. And I don't know, I haven't been, you know, around the world. I don't know what exists in other countries, but I would think based on the sheer wealth of our nation that America probably does have the best healthcare system in the world. But Dr. Omar, you talked about the patient being the most important part. I just heard that come out of your mouth. Man, if we drill down into many different aspects of our healthcare system, the patient isn't. Even though we hear that, the patient isn't always the most important part of the healthcare system. We want to talk some today about just yes. what we're talking about. And I'll begin by saying, you know, about a couple of months ago, I was saying I was having some issues with some tingling in my fingers. I'm now 71 years of age. And all the rest of things have been going well for me since I've met Dr. Omar and started following a regimen of things that he has suggested for me, and especially supplements. And so I'm starting to get worried, because I do know I have diabetes, and I do know that, you know, I've seen a lot of people with tingling in the toes of their feet and other places. And when you have diabetes, that's a dangerous situation. So the way the system is set up now, I couldn't go and see my regular doctor. You know, I've had seen him already, and so you see him twice a year. So they, the healthcare system that I'm with, I have Medicare, sent me to another one of their doctors. And that doctor pulled me off of a couple medications that I've been taking for a number of years and said, you know, that prescribed a different medication for me. And so I go to the pharmacy and that they sent me to see if I can get this new medication that they prescribed for me. And it was denied by Medicare. And I think the cost had a lot to do with it. I think it was $800 and some odd dollars, you know, per inoculation. And I'm supposed to take two of those, you know, take one of those every 2 weeks. Well, to make a long story short, the doctor who prescribed this medication, I could not get in touch with. Several weeks went by. The pharmacy didn't get authorization, so there was nothing they could do. I kept reaching out to the parent medical company that I was dealing with, or hospital that I was dealing with. They couldn't get things moving, and so here I am. I've been removed off of two medications that I've been taking for at least 7, 8, maybe even 10 years, and the prescription that they prescribed, Dr. Omar, I clearly, as a layperson, has no idea of what that is or the impact of me not taking that medication since they took me off of two medications that I've been taking for a number of years. I know that I've always heard that we should never stop taking medications without knowing. And so, Dr. Omar, and I had this conversation with you personally, and you gave me, as always, the insight that I couldn't get anywhere else. Dr. Omar, what kind of system is it that a doctor can prescribe medication? We say we got the greatest system in the world, can prescribe medication to a patient that is needed, and yet the real master of the healthcare system, the insurance company, can say no.
Yeah. Well, Earl, you are touching on more than one subject that are very important, because America does have advanced healthcare capabilities, the most advanced. And that's something to be proud of, from cutting edge hospitals to top specialists, to world leading pharmaceutical research and life-saving innovations. The U.S. continues to shape the future of medicine. But the honest truth is that access and outcomes aren't equal to everyone. The system shines brightest when you have the right coverage, the right insurance coverage that covers all those fancy medications that we hear about that support the health. But too often, the cost of care, administrative red tape, and all of that delays, like prior authorization, which takes you sometimes to a black hole of not getting your drug that the doctor wrote, that all can create challenges. Because the big question is, who's calling the shots? Who is in charge? Is it you or the doctor or the pharmacy or the man hiding behind the black curtain, insurance companies? Because doctor did his part. Doctor found that you need a medication to lower your cholesterol, and that needs to happen right away. And the doctor wrote for you, by the way, a medication called PCSK9. That medication is very important to lower the LDL when it's dangerously elevated and the statins are not helping or working. It has minimal side effects. It works great, but it is very expensive. So the doctor writes a prescription, and then what is happening? The prescription goes to the pharmacy. You go to the pharmacy, I need my prescription, and then the pharmacist has to bill the medication, whether you go to an independent or a chain pharmacy. But unfortunately, there is something called rejection. Insurance is not paying. Do they say a blunt no, we're not paying? No, it never comes this way. It says this medication needs paperwork to be made, which is prior authorization. We sent it to the doctor. We will wait for the doctor to approve it. And if the doctor is in a hospital or in moving from an office to an office, for this prior authorization paperwork to reach the doctor, it might be a few days. For this doctor to actually acknowledge this paper and work on it might be some other few days. And it can take weeks and weeks to get a needed medication. But now you're talking about cholesterol medication, which is, yeah, it's an important chronic condition, but it can wait for a few days or some few weeks before you're having a health problem. But what if this medication is a cancer treatment? Who's calling the shots? Unfortunately, the insurance company is calling the shots. Many times it's someone who doesn't have enough clinical judgment to say the patient deserves to take this drug or that drug. And that's part of the twisted, challenging healthcare system that we have. And if the patient doesn't have enough knowledge and advocacy energy for their medication, they're not going to follow up with the pharmacy or the doctor to get the medication. And I think what happened with you, Earl, and you're vocal, you look and search for your rights. How long did it take you from the prescription of the drug till you had the drug already? How many days?
It took 3+ weeks, almost a month.
All right.
And I can tell you, I was shaking the tree, you know, daily, because I didn't know what the new prescription that they were prescribing me, what it was really for. The doctor never explained that to me. And so I just couldn't get, an answer, a solid answer, until after I just continued to raise sand and then basically said to them that, I'm a guy who kind of, has a voice with a radio show, and I certainly could go on and make some noise. And I hate to have resulted to that, Dr. Omar, but that's almost what it took for them to finally make a move on it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there is a study that showed that 94% of doctors in 2024 survey said that prior authorization and delays harm patients. That's 94% of doctors. Biologics like Humira get hit hardest. But let's say that we are talking about heart failure patients,
yes,
who need medications like Entresto, to cancer patients stalled on chemo. We're talking about a 2023 Health Affairs study tied these delays to a 22% jump in hospitalizations. So we're talking that these kind of delays are causing serious events to patients. And we understand that the insurance companies are afraid and worried about fraud and fraudulent activities and kind of what can happen this way. But we have to fight for better healthcare in America, because America is spending much more than any other country or continent on the planet on healthcare. We deserve to have better outcomes. And if the system is not working, then how are we going to make it work? And that gets to be a question that everyone is trying to answer.
Well, Dr. Omar, the reason that our conversations are so vitally important is that this is so complex that the average American can't begin to even try to understand this. The answer to this, Dr. Omar, I believe, is political. And so we are Congress people and senators who are elected to represent us must fight this fight for us, but we must begin by educating the populace, that this is an issue. They asked me at the end of this journey that I was on, the healthcare system that I'm with, what do you want to happen after I was registering a complaint? What do you want to happen? I said, well, I don't want another person to have to go through what I went through. What about elderly people, Dr. Omar, who don't know how to navigate that system. I don't want them to have to go through what I've gone through. And I don't know if the hospital itself is in a position to do anything to change that. Again, I think it's political. Your thoughts?
What the hospital can do is to have a better functioning system, to have this prior authorization replied to fast, because if we lower the amount of time it takes for the insurance company to get the reply, they might have, instead of you getting the medication after 3 weeks, to get it in 2-3 days. Because the challenge that's happening now is very complex. Now, the doctor saw you and didn't have more than 5, 10, 15 minutes maximum to spend with you.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. The doctor didn't have time to tell you anything about the drug. The doctor depends on the pharmacy to teach you about the new medication. But the pharmacy doesn't have the medication. So the paperwork that went to this doctor took him maybe 2-3 weeks. Or maybe he did it right away. He sends and pushes it to the insurance company. Now you have to call the insurance company to ask them, where is my medication? And you advocate for yourself. And you can do things on your own, by the way. You can call the insurance company and ask them to push the prior authorization. They're going to tell you, have the pharmacy call us. But if you insist, they might move faster. They can call the doctor's office and say, okay, we're waiting for this paperwork. So you see this complex behind the scene image between the pharmacy and the doctor and the insurance company. You should not be taking the liability of doing that. You think that if we talk, that the hospital is going to listen, but actually they just want you to stop talking about it.
Yes.
Because it's more complex than that. They don't want to change things. They don't want the doctor to spend more time on the short notes, because that's going to delay the doctor from seeing 10 other patients, because it's just not easy. What we're trying to push for now, and I think there is movement in Congress to do, is to have what's called the real-time prior authorization. While the doctor is writing the prescription, he is doing the paperwork and sending it to make it get approved, or while the pharmacy is sending the claim, the prior authorization is happening. So it would take, instead of several days and weeks, it takes hours. And now in the AI era of having everything done by a robot and done by a supercomputer, why don't they put a supercomputer to make our lives easier here? Why do the insurance company have to hire a team of customer service people who are just answering the questions and trying to beef that, you know, you're angry, you're calling them. They just try to take your complaint and then you hear nothing for a few days. Why don't they try to push more computing power into streamlining this process to make it instead of weeks, just minutes, seconds, to make it faster and better? And we can invest that money in a better place. So the question gets to be complicated. And unfortunately, the amount of fraudulent cases for gamifying and playing the system because of how complex it's built get to give us a staggering number of like how much America is spending and how like poor the outcomes are, because we're saying like people are going to the hospital more, people are being denied the care, and now I'm asking the average American who can be 80 and 90 years old to go fight with the insurance company about complex paperwork to get done so they can get a medication important and integral for their health. And I think we need to do something, and it had to happen on the Congress level. Legislative level is important. And we really have several movements that are happening in our world, as like pharmacy organizations, doctors organizations. Just we don't have enough money to push this forward.
Dr. Omar, this is such an important dialogue and conversation, because maybe people who will be listening to this podcast may say, well, you know, that's for elderly people. And, you know, I'm young. This conversation doesn't really matter much to me. But here's what they need to understand. Their loved ones, their mothers, their fathers, their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles, people they love are caught in this trap. And they can't navigate, as you stated so well, a system that's set up to frustrate people. Is it safe to say that the insurance companies have set this system up to frustrate people? And at the end of this, it's not hyperbole to say that people die unnecessarily because they haven't been able to navigate this system.
After 14 years of working in the system in America, I have to tell you that unfortunately this is very true. Insurance companies want to dispense the cheapest medication that they can dispense to the patient and charge a ridiculous amount of money, even if there is pills for like cents for a month supply. And then when you come and ask for a brand name or some expensive drug, they put those roadblocks. They don't tell you, we're not going to give it to you, but they just make it hard. And they think, all right, if it's hard for 10 patients, maybe we're going to lower the cost because the doctor is going to prescribe a cheaper drug. And that is kind of a hidden goal and hidden agenda. Because as soon as the doctor comes and hears that this medication needs a prior authorization, they call the pharmacy and they ask the pharmacy, what is covered? What can the patient get? Well, actually, the patient can get the prescription that you doctor prescribed, but unfortunately, you have to send the paperwork, short notes, you have to fight for the patient, but the doctor doesn't have the staff and the capability right to do that. Some excellent doctors don't have the staff to fight for every patient's medications. So they try to find what is covered in the formulary of this insurance company. And that gets us to the challenge of what insurance company to work with. And that is why I tell patients, when you subscribe to a new insurance company or when you go to the open enrollment, make sure that you ask about the most expensive drugs that you have. And the pharmacy will tell you which medications are those, to make sure that this insurance company is telling you how much it will cost. And unfortunately, when changes happen middle of the year or a new drug that you need to take, it's usually painful. So I would highly recommend that the patient would try to get their medications approved for at least 6 months. And they can help to do five different things. I can tell you, like, there is five different things that you can make in order to push your prior authorization forward. First, push your doctor for detailed chart notes. Push your doctor to push the prior authorization forward, because that's going to be the request from your insurance company. Number two, call your insurance company and demand answers. Number three, if your medication is denied, request, and this is your right, request peer-to-peer review with a specialist, not a general person who's going to just say yes or no. And also, you can file for expedited appeal with your insurance company. One more thing is that many drug companies are offering 1 month of free medication to important drugs like Entresto, or which is for heart failure, and other medications, just to help the patient push the gap between when you are prescribed the medication and when the insurance will approve it. So I'm not sure, Earl, why the doctor did not give you samples for the first 1 month of therapy, because that's a usual thing when they have to offer a new drug like this. But if things have been happening fast, the doctor doesn't have samples, that's when things can fall in the crack. But I want to tell you, like, what if you're LDL went up to a point that you had to go to a hospital? Like, you ask yourself, this would cost even the insurance, it would be kind of really bad, but it would cost the insurance thousands and thousands of dollars, much more than the push for making this paperwork go through. And this is the dilemma that we have, the chicken or the egg, and how to be proactive into protecting the community and be revolutionary in terms of thinking to improve the system, because the money is there. It gets pushed. It gets put. Those congressmen are not going to be in their places unless they accept the budget for healthcare, Medicare and Medicaid and insurances. It's a huge budget that they have to accept every year. But we need to move the stones and change things so they are easier and better for us as healthcare. And I think with the upgrades in artificial intelligence, this is a prime spot for change, because many of those redundant steps that cause the delays can be removed away, but there has to be good intentions, or we can't just work with bad intentions.
You know, Dr. Omar, I can't think of a better person and more honest and forthright to have this conversation and dialogue with. Again, I did not know that any of this existed. And prior to, again, a couple months ago, when I had to experience this, the doctor herself, as I went in, again, this is not my primary doctor. This is a doctor that, you know, they gave me because I was talking about the tingling in my fingers and in my elbow. And she was overwhelmed with patients. Dr. Omar, if I told you, every seat in her office was full. Excuse me. So she had 10 minutes, as you stated, with me. And, you know, maybe 12. But, you know, she certainly could not deal with maybe the complexities of what was happening with me. She asked for blood, you know, for them to draw blood.
Lab work.
And then that's where she was able to see this. But just overwhelmed. And so it's safe to say doctors are just overwhelmed. So we can't point the finger solely at doctors. You know, the population of the nation is aging. And this is an ongoing problem that, Dr. Omar, is it safe to say they need to address because it's not going away?
Yeah, doctors are overwhelmed, health practitioners are overwhelmed, pharmacists are overwhelmed, but unless we put our hands and arms together, we're not going to fix this. And that's why, Earl, on a daily basis, our phone doesn't stop ringing. Half of our phone calls are coming from doctors asking us questions about medications and how can we help support patients. The challenge also that we're having is that America is big on liability, and like if they are gonna give you a recommendation, there has to be like safeguard question check marks that they have to check, and that kind of can kill creativity in terms of trying to fix a problem with easier solutions. When you told me about the tingling that you're having, from the history I know with you and your eating habits, I suspected that you are low on folic acid and vitamin Bs. And all I recommended was not a very high dose of B vitamins, but just a good brand of B vitamins. And I wanted you to take it just twice a day, not once a day, to cover the 24 hours because it's water soluble. Because I know that if you're deficient in some of the B vitamins, that can cause the tingling sensation. So it was a simple recommendation that can be given to you by your doctor. But unfortunately, sometimes the system gets to be super perfect. So it kills creativity of the health practitioner. So they don't want to even try. All right, just send me all the lab work. I'll check it out. I'll figure it out later after you send me the lab work after a month. But you're suffering now. What can I do now that is going to be and be an easy fix? And then there is no danger or harm, all right? So that requires that we share the responsibility, that this doctor would call me and tell me, Omar, I have this and I think there is a solution, but I can't think about it now. So tell me, how can we do to help this patient? Maybe I'll have the tool to tell this doctor. The hospital system should have a herbal medicine database someone to call on for such a question. That happens in Germany, that happens in Japan, in China. System should be connected this way. And that's, by the way, is low investment to improve healthcare. Those creative solutions are, how can you push them into a system that pays billions of dollars to create a perfect system, but at the same time, it's not helping the patient. So we request more creativity, more boldness. And I think, like, what is being told in the media and the politics, that this is the perfect time for that, but it's not happening. And that's why we need to stay vocal and always speak about it, you know?
So Dr. Omar, is it safe to say, and, you know, this is just, again, my thoughts, if insurance companies continue and hospitals continue to look like the skyline of Dubai,
yes,
and all the latest technological advances in machinery and equipment, that's what hospitals and insurance companies are looking like. Something has to be then omitted in order to continue to build these palaces. And I can't tell you a hospital that I've been in or go into that's lacking the latest technological equipment or continue to build the edifices. Does that have anything to do with the fact that, you know, these kinds of issues kind of go unaddressed?
I think we're spending a lot more money on PR and our image more than we spend money on solving the problem. Yes, I agree with you on that. And that has been happening for so long. And then they would come and find a lot of money that is being funneled out for things like that. Just make it look beautiful, but you don't have to spend billions of dollars. Just spend millions of dollars, spend the billions of dollars to improve the system and improve outcomes. So it's safe to say that we're putting the money in the wrong place. And it is safe to say that the whole system needs to be changed, but we need some realistic point of view. And we need to have this marriage between conventional solutions and new solutions. Doesn't mean that we are going to come with a new innovation in healthcare, that it has to all be new. Maybe we can adopt something from the past, something from another nation, a solution from a different country that worked, and we can use it. So we have to humble ourselves and humble our solutions and be realistic about what's happening today and where we can be 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years from today. Unless we do that, we're just going to delay solutions until the system will be boggled down to a point that there is no return and we cannot fix it anymore. And we don't want to say that. We want to say that there is excellent executioners of plans, but we have to have realistic plans to execute them.
So, Dr. Omar, let's recap. So if you go to a doctor and the doctor gives you a prescription and you take the prescription to a pharmacist, and the pharmacist says, we haven't received pre-authorization. And you sit back and wait, as I did, several days to see if they're going to get pre-authorization. I didn't know what that meant, right, what that means. I'm just a patient. And time goes by, and you call the doctor back, and you kind of don't get the answer from them because, you know, you got to go through different things. You're not going to get to talk directly to the doctor. The doctor's busy. And time goes by. I called the hospital, and they said we would get to it. Well, weeks went by. And I'm not saying, Dr. Omar, that, you know, the people are really, for the most part, the patient is more important to the family of the patient, I hate to say it, than they are to the insurance company or even, you know, others. So it's incumbent upon the family members to press. Is it safe to say that?
Yes, it's safe to say that as soon as you hear the pharmacy telling you we are waiting for the doctor to send the prior authorization, call your doctor right away and tell them, leave a message. Tell them, I'm waiting for prior authorization. Please have the doctor do it. And then call your insurance company. And that way you're going to connect the dots and you're going to move them in order to get your paperwork in place and taken care of. So don't wait for a few other days to get it happening. No, you have to push for it. Unfortunately, it's just the offices, doctor offices are too busy, the pharmacies are too busy, and if this is not happening by the direct influence of the patient or a patient advocate, it's going to take weeks for things to move, or they're not going to move at all. Your prescription will fall in a black hole, and unfortunately, you will never get it, and it happens many, many times.
You know, Dr. Omar, I was told that once it gets started, now, you know, things are all right, and clearly, that has been the case with me. There's no problem with it now. But had I not been diligent, had I not been a person who knew where to shake the tree limbs, maybe I would have suffered, you know, some horrible reality from that, because I didn't know. And so as we, you know, begin the podcast portion of your and my relationship, I just want people to know, Dr. Omar, if they wanted to get in touch with you, because you do consultations with people across the nation, there clearly is a website, a phone number that people can get in touch with you. What is that number? And
So people can always get in touch with me going to willtopiarx.com. Wellness and utopia becomes Willtopia, or call or text at 262-429-9429 and leave me a message or speak to me directly when I am in the pharmacy. I'm always happy to speak to patients and help navigate the system and get the best care possible for patients.
You know, Dr. Omar, you the fact that prior to you, there was one other guy, a pharmacist, that I had a relationship with. His name was Dr. Carter. He was an affable guy. And Dr. Omar, he created compounds himself. And, you know, he kept my community healthy. And this is going back 40, 50 years, Dr. Omar. And you trained a little bit under him.
Yes. I worked with Dr. Carter's for like, I think, above more than 1 year. And he was great. I loved working with him. He has so much knowledge and wisdom. And he believed in natural medicine. And I learned about many of the companies that are very good in providing information from Dr. Carter. Actually, I want to tell you that B vitamins for tingling as a first solution was Dr. Carter's inspiration, because I saw him use this method and tool over and over. That's where it comes, the importance of mentorship and learning from the best. So that helped to support me big time. So you see, Earl, it's all about connecting dots. And that's where we have to empower each other to kind of reach somewhere. So I am honored and privileged to work with you and to know you. And it's a great relationship I am proud of. And Dr. Carter was a legend.
You know, Dr. Omar, it's, you know, you don't only work with me, you work with my family, and we are a lot better for having met Dr. Omar, no question whatsoever. And now we're going to make sure that the world gets to know who Dr. Omar is and can benefit the way we have. We got to leave it there for now, but we'll reconnect with Dr. Omar, the proprietor and founder of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mequon, Thiensville. Have a great week. We'll call upon you again next Thursday.
Awesome. All right. Great to talk.